Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Quick reminder that we have an unscientific poll question on our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. Do you think that the merger between AOL and the Huffington Post will be good for political journalism? Go and register your response at itsafreecountry.org. Well, the images coming from Cairo's Tahrir Square have offered a glimpse of a new role for Egyptian women there. For the first time, women are joining men in large numbers at the protests, calling for the end of Hosni Mubarak's rule with the same fervor as their male counterparts. Women are not as often seen in public life. Sexual harassment and limited rights makes them second-class citizens in the country. In demanding that Mubarak step down, they are also raising questions about the future of women's rights in Egypt, questions which may be closely tied to the role of Islam in government. One of the women in Tahrir Square is the renowned Egyptian feminist Dr. Nawal El-Sadawi. She published her first book, the foundational feminist text, Women and Sex, in 1972 and was dismissed from her position as director of the Ministry of Health. She was imprisoned in 1981 for her criticisms of former President Anwar el-Sadat and was forced into exile in 1988 after being threatened by fundamentalists. In 1996, she returned to Egypt. She also even started a presidential campaign against Hosni Mubarak in 2006, but dropped out before the vote was actually held, that election a foregone conclusion anyway, of course. And she joins us now from Cairo. Dr. El-Sadawi, such an honor to have you on our program. Hello from New York.
Thank you.
Tell us what you've seen in Tahrir Square. How are women participating there?
Well, the very, very important thing is that men and women, Christians and Muslims, join hand in hand. You know, all the differences dissolved under the revolution. And this happens always in revolutions. But this revolution, Egyptian revolution, that started 25 January 2011, is remarkable, historical. And there are hundreds of women and thousands of women among everywhere, in the streets, in Tahrir Square, everywhere. And we have one unified target now, that Mubarak regime, all Mubarak regime, from top till bottom, should resign and should be put in trial. Because what I saw on Wednesday, 2nd February, that we were sitting, and then the men of Mubarak, of his party, came like gangs on horses and on camels with weapons. I was about to be knocked down by a horse. They killed hundreds of young people who were peacefully demonstrating. So this 2nd of February, at the beginning we said he should go only. After Wednesday, we said he should be on trial with all his people, not only for the 30 years of corruption and dictatorship, but for the blood of hundreds of innocent young men and women, because women were killed also on Wednesday.
May I ask, there's no doubt that Mubarak's rule has been oppressive and undemocratic, but the president and his wife represent some of the more Western, if you will, and liberal aspects of Egyptian culture. Suzanne Mubarak seems to occupy a much more progressive and liberal role for women in Egyptian society. And she's been vocal in her campaign against female genital mutilation, a practice which you have been an important activist against as well. Do you think there are elements of Mubarak's governance which have proven to help women's freedoms?
No, this is not true. Suzanne Mubarak killed the feminist women movement in Egypt. She banned feminist organization. She prevented us from establishing the Egyptian Women Union in order to establish her, what she called National Council for Women. She didn't fight for female circumcision. Mm-hmm. It's Egyptian women that fought for that. I lost my job in 72 because I was fighting as a medical doctor against female circumcision and many others. And she claimed to be the one who was fighting female. She never invited us to any women conference in Egypt or any literary conference. I'm a writer, a novelist. And she dominated the Minister of Culture and the Minister of the Media and the National Council of Women. And she isolated and fought against us, against the real feminists, who paid a very high price for 20 years, 30 years, for half a century. We've been struggling. And she tried to bury us alive. And she did that for some years. I lived in exile. Since Sadat, I was in prison, then we came out. And since then, I was not there.
Yes.
I was in exile, either outside the country or inside the country. So Suzanne Mubarak killed the real feminist movement in Egypt and replaced it by a governmental and pseudo-NGOs that were obeying her and being like slaves to her.
My guest on WNYC is the renowned Egyptian feminist, Dr. Nawal El Sadawi. We can take some phone calls from Egyptian women, Middle
Yes.
Eastern women, Islamic women, with any of your thoughts or questions about the implications of the Egypt revolution or some of the movements now taking place in other countries in the region, for that matter, the implications for women. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, a special invitation right now for Egyptian-American women, Middle East women from the Middle East anywhere, Islamic women from anywhere, 212-433-WNYC for this rare opportunity to talk to Dr. El Sadawi live on the line from Egypt, 212-433-9692. And Dr. El Sadawi, as someone who lives a secular life, I understand, and who has been targeted and threatened by Islamic fundamentalists in Egypt, what is your opinion of the Muslim Brotherhood, and with their role likely to increase in a post-Mubarak government, do you think women might have more to fear from that than from the status quo?
No. The Mubarak regime is more dangerous to women than the Muslim Brothers. And I am very secular. And the millions of women and men I met in Tahrir Square and in the streets, because I started with them on the 25 January till today, till this minute. The majority of them are secular young men and women. Secular. Some of them belong to the Muslim Brothers. But many young Muslim Brothers are different from their leaders. They are much more broad-minded. They came to me. I was astonished. They came to me, hundreds of them, and they hugged me in Tahrir Square. And they told me, we may differ with you in some of the matter, opinion, but we love you and respect you. And we believe that the constitution of Egypt should be secular, that women and men should be equal. No, Christians and Muslims should be equal. So those that the younger generations of the Muslim Brothers, so we are not at all afraid of them. We work together. And for as democracy, they should be represented according to their minority group. But the majority are secular, enlightened men and women. So the danger now is the Mubarak regime. He doesn't respect the will of the millions of the people, and he's staying in power against the will of the people, you know? And he is trying to deceive us by giving us little concessions to stay in power. But today we said no. No dialogue with the regime. No concession. We do not accept anything until the whole regime fall from head, from Mubarak, till the last, the smallest, the one who was in his party or in the government.
Forgive me, were you saying that you think most of the members or leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood are secular and enlightened?
The younger, yes. The younger generations, whom I met in Tahrir Square. In fact, I was surprised. They hugged me and they said, you know, we differ with some points, but we believe that men and women are equal. Christians and Muslims are equal. The revolution even changed them. I saw Muslims and Christians praying together in the street, you know, Christians and Muslims, and hugging each other. And there was not a single harassment.
Also on I'm sorry, yes. Go ahead and finish your thought.
Yes, girls and women were safe. Nobody harassed us. Because who harassed women? It was the police of the regime. Christian, no church was burned since 25 January. Because who burned the churches? It was the regime to divide the Egyptians, divide and rule. Who created the Islamic and Christian fundamentalism in Egypt? It was Sadat and then Mubarak. Usually I say Bin Laden and George Bush are twins, you know.
And now you say, yes, I understand. Okay, also on the line now, we have another Egyptian-American, an Egyptian-American woman in Cairo who has been going to Tahrir Square to protest. Yasmin Moll is a PhD student at NYU who has been studying in Cairo. Hello, Yasmin.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. We still have life in New York. As a woman in your 20s, what have you noticed about the atmosphere of the protests for women? Are you seeing them the same way as Dr. El-Sadawi was just describing?
Yes. I mean, I think Dr. Sadawi was absolutely correct in many of the points she made. Going to Tahrir, I truly felt like I was in a new country, a new Egypt. I was marching in the middle of thousands of men, and not once did I get harassed or feel threatened in any way. Some women showed up alone, some with friends, some with their children and husbands, and the men there were exceedingly polite and welcoming to all the women who showed up to protest.
And I've read that women going to the protests have been protecting themselves by wearing multiple layers of clothing and at times carrying mace to protect themselves from the harassment of men. I think you're saying this wouldn't even be necessary, but is it something you've seen?
No, not at all. I was there. I was dressed in regular clothing. I don't wear a headscarf, and I didn't get harassed once, and in the middle of thousands and thousands of men. And just talking about what are some of the implications, I think, of this revolution for women in Egypt, I think, just in my opinion, one of the most important byproducts of the events of the past week is the gradual politicization and mobilization of ordinary women, women who have no history of political involvement. And I just want a good example of this is my mother, actually, because I watched her stance evolve over the past week from apathy to fear and now to anger at a regime that has killed and imprisoned and injured so many young Egyptians just for daring to say, no, we won't be silent anymore. So this past week has been a sort of consciousness raising for her. And actually, as I'm speaking, my mom is busy in the next room. She's handwriting a poster that she wants to take with her tomorrow to Tahrir, and it will be the first demonstration of her life. And she's going because she wants to say no to the system, and she wants everybody to hear that.
What about your own concern, if you have any, about rising influence of the Muslim Brotherhood with conservative Islamic views toward women?
I mean, I think setting up a contrast between a secularism that empowers women and a sort of Islamic despotism that oppresses women, I think that that's frankly racist. Islam doesn't say anything. Muslims do. And what they're saying now in Egypt and in Tahrir and elsewhere is that they want a better Egypt, an Egypt where Muslims and Christians can live in peace alongside one another. And actually, you know, if we look at the history of secularism in the Middle East, it has really been a checkered one with regards to feminism, and equating Islam with the oppression of women, I think, marginalizes many feminist modes of resistance that differ from those of secular Western feminism.
Having the two of you here together, is there anything that you'd like to ask Dr. Nawal El-Sadawi?
No, I just want to say that I saw her on television, and I'm so proud that she's there with us despite, you know, her age, and that hopefully I'll be joining her tomorrow again in Tahrir.
Dr. Sadawi, any message for your young Egyptian-American counterpart?
Well, we are learning from them now, because I think the revolution started with the young women and men. So we, the older generations, I am 80 years now, we are learning from them, and also they learn from us. So what I hope now, that younger women like Yasmin, that we should continue the fight, even after the fall of the Mubarak regime and the new revolutionary government, we women should start our union in order to fight for our rights and also to supervise the new revolutionary government so that our rights will not disappear as sometimes happens after revolutions. So we should unite, because Suzanne Mubarak prevented our unity. We should unite, we should start and establish the Egyptian Women Union to struggle forever for our rights. It's a long way, but as Yasmin said, we are in New Egypt now, New Egypt.
Well, I want to thank Yasmin Mohl, PhD student at NYU, who's been studying in Cairo, for joining us on the phone. Thank you very much, and good luck to you with the rest of your time there.
And thank you.
We still have, for just a few more minutes, the Egyptian feminist, Dr. Nawal El-Sadawi. We've been inviting phone calls, and let me take one. Ali in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning, Brian. I just want to clear a couple of issues that your guest completely distorted the history. Number one, Nasser and Muslim Brotherhood, they were in Kohos together. They had a coup against King Farouk. So this Muslim Brotherhood that you've been telling over past 1 week, and I've been trying to get in the line to clear this, the Muslim Brotherhood got the short end when Nasser came to the power. That's when they become against Nasser regime. They were together against the King Farouk. So they were very secular. Muslim Brotherhood maybe got a little bit astray around 81 or 82 because of Mubarak's regime and military regime that was in the power. So this has to be clear, because I know about the Middle East history. I'm from that area of the world. I'm not from Egypt. But Egypt feminist movement was the first movement in Middle East that talks about, under Nasser regime, equality of women in Islam, which is in the Quran. There is equality of women and men in Quran. I mean, this is being distorted again by many of your guests, because they don't read all the Quran. They just take piece of Quran.
You're saying there is equality of men and women in the Quran. Doctor, would you like to weigh in on that thought? Do you have an opinion about that? Whether the Quran expresses equality of men and women?
Well, I spent 10 years of my life comparing the Quran to the Old Testament and to the New Testament, and even I went to India to the Gita. You know, all these religions started in a patriarchal class system. So there are many, many patriarchal class value system and slave morals in all religions, because this was their time. The Old Testament is very much against women. Women are very inferior to men in the Old Testament, and they are inferior to men in the New Testament. They are less inferior because of history and because of time, and because Islam came more recent after Christianity. In Islam, when you study the Quran, you find there are verses that men and women are equal. And there are verses that say that men are higher than women a degree. You know, and this also in all religions. Men are superior in all religions. Men dominate women in all religions. Virginity conception is much more. You have Virgin Mary in Christianity. We don't have Virgin Mary in Islam. So, in fact, the rumor, the Islamophobia, this is political. My father graduated from Azhar. He never veiled me, and he sent me to study with men in the Faculty of Medicine. So the fundamentalist groups were created by neocolonial powers to fight the socialist groups and the feminist groups. This happened even in Iran. The Iranian revolution started secular and socialist. Then they carried Khomeini. They sent him by a plane, the Western colonial powers. They sent Khomeini to abort the secular revolution of the Iranian people. And they want to do that now. They want to abort the secular revolution of young men and women by saying it is Islamic fundamentalism, which is not true.
Well, we'll see if those alignments can change in a post-Mubarak Egypt. We thank the renowned Egyptian feminist Dr. Nawal El-Sadawi, whose first book was the foundational feminist text, Women and Sex, in 1972. She spent time in exile from Egypt after that, ran against Mubarak for a time in the 2006 presidential election, and is now one of the protesters in Tahrir Square calling for regime change. Thank you so much for coming on the phone with us from Cairo. We so appreciate it.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Bye. And from this, we move to belief in God as seen by an evolutionary psychologist, coming up next.